podcast you are about to listen to will contain detailed plot spoilers. If you do not wish to have the movie ruined for you, I recommend turning the podcast off now. Also, the podcast will contain graphic and explicit language. If you don't think your ears can handle it, turn the podcast off and go change your tampon. You have been warned.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to
Cinephiles to today's second special slash tastic episode of the Movie Pit Podcast. It feels like carving a jack-o'-lantern to dive into this film noir classic. Today we're slicing into the beast that revitalized the slasher genre, none other than 1996's Scream. Now this one brings back a blood-spattered bundle of nostalgia for me. I remember back in 96, my fam took a trip to the most magical place on earth, Disneyland. But screw the rides, the real thrill was playing in one of those hotel beds and renting Scream. That's what I call some real family bonding, goddammit. And let me tell you, as the credits rolled, my love for horror was reborn again. Just like Ghostface from The Presumed Death. Alright, before I get too damn misty-eyed, strap in, because right after this trailer, we're tearing into the film deeper than a knife in a slasher flick. So crank up the volume, listen to those chilling lines, and revel in that notorious score, motherfuckers. And after we've satiated our horror hunger, we'll be right back to mangle and dissect every juicy detail. Don't you dare touch that dial, or Ghostface might be calling your ass next.
Hello?
Hello?
Who is this?
You tell me your name, I'll tell you mine.
I don't think so.
What's that noise?
Popcorn.
You're making popcorn?
Well, I'm getting ready to watch a video.
Really? What?
Oh, just some scary movie.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
You never told me your name.
Why do you want to know my name?
I want to know who I'm looking at.
Someone is playing a deadly game.
It all began with the scream over 911.
Someone who's seen one too many scary movies. Now, he's taken his love of fear.
Hello?
Hello, Sydney.
One step too far.
Do you like scary movies?
What's the point? They're all the same. Some stupid killer stalking some big-breasted girl who can't act, who's always running up the stairs when she should be going out the front door. It's insulting.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a scary movie. Number one, you can never have sex.
Hey, where are you? It's me.
Never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be back.
Get another beer. You want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back!
He didn't make the rules.
The police are always off track. If they watch Palm Night, they save time.
He just kills by them. Don't answer the phone. Don't open the door. Don't try to hide.
Everybody's a suspect!
You're not scared, are you?
Scream.
Welcome, movie lovers, cinephiles, and everyone who gets a shiver of excitement from a spine-chilling horror flick or a cult classic. We're thrilled to bring you today's episode of the Movie Pit Podcast, courtesy of Shout Factory and Scream Factory, your ultimate havens for films that define, defy, and push the limits of cinema. With Shout Factory, you're diving into a treasure trove of unforgettable movies and TV shows that have shaped generations. From gripping documentaries to animated adventures, Shout Factory brings you the content you love in deluxe Blu-rays and exclusive collector's editions. Ever wanted to own a piece of film history? Shout Factory's lovingly crafted releases are a cinephile's dream. And for those who hear the call of the dark side, who relish the thrill of a jump scare, and who appreciate the art of classic horror and sci-fi, Scream Factory welcomes you with open arms. With meticulously restored screen gems, collector's edition box sets, and enough supplementary content to satiate even the most ardent of horror aficionados, Scream Factory ensures the thrills keep coming long after the credits have rolled. For quality, nostalgia, and a dedication to the movies and series that won your heart, look no further than Shout and Scream Factory. Discover lost titles, revisit old favorites, and experience the best in high definition. What are you waiting for? Add a little cinematic magic to your collection today. Check out their eclectic and extensive catalog at shoutfactory.com. Elevate your movie night with a purchase from the masters of film restoration and distribution. And now, sit back, relax, and enjoy today's feature on the Movie Pit Podcast, brought to you by Shout Factory and Scream Factory, where the movies come alive right in your living room.
Welcome back, fellow film fiends, to the gruesomely great The Movie Pit Podcast. Buckle up, buttercup, because we're slicing and dicing our way through the iconic 90s horror masterpiece, Scream. As I, Boozer, takes the stage again, we're in for a hell of a ride, loaded with sarcasm and the darkest humor you could hope for. So grab your ghost face mask and let's jump right the fuck in. We start with that legendary opening scene, you all know the one, where you're just chilling on the couch, about to pop in a scary VHS, and suddenly the phone rings, and your skin crawls. A scream throws us in the thick of it with Casey's creepy phone call. The suspense is thick enough to cut with a knife, or with Ghostface knife, I should say. It sets the tone for the entire movie. Social, playful conversations that take a hard left into Terror Town. The film's brilliance lies in its meta commentary. It freaking knows it's a horror movie and it isn't afraid to wink at its audience while blood is splattering the walls. Take the rules of surviving a horror flick, for instance. It's like a lecture on horror films within a horror film. Wes Craven didn't just craft a masterpiece, he made a horror hall of mirrors that has us looking over our shoulders in every fucking frame of this film. And then we get Sydney, poor dear Sydney, whose life is like the before picture in a PTSD ad. Sydney's the heart of this horror show. The girl's got more baggage than a goddamn airport. She's battling this anonymous creep on the phone, contending with her boyfriend's hormone overload advances, and dealing with the anniversary of her mom's murder, all while trying to avoid being gutted like a fucking fish. Next, we enter high school hell, where the student body is dropping faster than my odds of winning the fucking lottery. But it's the cast of quirky characters that steal the show. Tatum, the sarcastic BFF, Billy, the broody boyfriend with a Johnny Depp complex, and Dewey, the boyish cop with the survival instincts of a fucking goldfish. Let's talk about the meta-movie moments that makes horror nerds' heart flutter. Scream nods to slashers like Halloween, A Nightmare on Elm Street, and even Psycho, with its crafty illusions. Not illusions, illusions. Scream doesn't let us forget our slasher heritage. As the body count rises, where can only be described as a teenage thunderdome, the house party from hell, booze, popcorn, and a side of murder. It isn't just a scene, it's a goddamn horror marathon. Remember the shirt the crew wore? after this bloodbath, I survive scene 118. If not, you're not as big a horror geek as I am. It took a Herculean 21 days to shoot that scene, and the result, pure cinematic fucking carnage. But Scream does something extraordinary. It balances outright terror with laugh-out-loud humor. Take Stu's breakdown toward the end when faced with the cops closing in. It's like Oswald Cobblepot had a meltdown at a kegger. Then there's Principal Hembree, snipped out by Ghostface in a bit of poetic justice. Who didn't chuckle when he scared the shit out of those high school pranksters just before getting what for? The blood-soaked roller coaster of the film takes us through a whodunit with more twists than a Chubby Checker convention. And just when you think you've got it all figured out, Scream slaps you with a revelation that's juicier than a slab of rare steak. Before I wrap up this gory gabfest, let's talk aesthetics. Scream didn't just resurrect the slasher genre, it raised the bar for a mood and style. The shadowy cinematography, the off-kilter camera angles, and the tight editing that plays you like a goddamn Stradivarius. It's all a masterclass in inducing paranoia. And that's just the tip of the fucking iceberg, my friends. Scream is more than a film. It's a genre-bending, expectation-shattering phenomenon. A film that laughs as much as it screams, and by the end, you're not sure if you're hysterical or just plain terrified. That's the beauty of this beast. It blurs the lines between humor and horror. And damn if that's not the divine intersection where true brilliance lies. All right, stay tuned, for there is more macabre madness to come after this commercial break. Just remember, never say, I'll be right back. Because in the world of Scream, that's just asking for you to get your ass handed to you on a bloody silver platter.
It was called The Grindhouse. Theaters that played back-to-back movies featuring uncensored sexuality and hardcore thrills. Now, Tarantino and Rodriguez are bringing The Grindhouse back with two explosive feature films. First,
they're stealing biochemical weapons.
When the laws of science are broken, the last hope for humanity rests in the hands of a few. Doc Block, his prescription, pain.
We gotta lose the arm, Joe.
What do you mean lose arm? My arm?
Dakota, one hot mama who knows the score.
If anyone comes to the door, I want you to shoot them.
What if it's Dad?
Hello, baby.
Especially if it's your dad.
El Rey, cross him and it's lights out. And Jerry Darling.
I made you something.
She tastes like trouble. With an attitude to boot. In Robert Rodriguez, Planet Terror.
Then.
Buckle up. Because a new kind of terror is coming. At 200 miles per hour.
Ladies, we're gonna have some fun.
There are a few things as fetching as a bruised ego on a beautiful angel.
Is that cowboy wisdom?
I'm not a cowboy, Pam. I'm a stuntman.
Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof.
This car is 100% death proof. Only to get the benefit of it, honey, you really need to be sitting in my seat.
Two adrenaline-fueled roller coasters. One ticket to ride. In 2.5 hours of pure dynamite. Planet Terror and Death Proof. Only at the Grindhouse.
Hello there, I'm Tobin Bell from the Saw franchise. I want to play a game. The rules of this game are simple. Up until now, you've simply sat in the shadows, listening to the world around you. But now I challenge you to become an active participant in your love of cinema. There is a podcast, The Movie Pit, that dives into the abyss of film, dissecting and discussing what many simply watch passively. It's a space where narratives intertwine, where the silver screen's secrets are laid bare for your auditory pleasure. So now you must make a choice. Will you ignore this opportunity, letting the static of countless other distractions drown out your passion? Or will you tune in, engage your senses, and embrace the depths of this cinematic exploration? Remember, the choice you make will show the value you place on the wealth of knowledge that awaits. So I ask you, live or die, make your choice.
All right, let's slice into the meat of Scream by putting the lens in the damn fantastic cast that brings this horror masterpiece to life. Leading the charge is Neve Campbell, who plays our final role, Sidney Prescott. Campbell's performance is like a masterclass in transcending trauma and badassery. Before she had us cheering as she dodged Ghostface, Campbell was known for his role as Julia Salinger on Party of Five. But it's as Sidney where she really shows that she's fucking made of, giving us a character who's vulnerable but yet isn't afraid to kick some serious ass. It's a nuanced portrayal that truly grounds the film's more, let's say, stabby moments. Now let's talk about the boy next door with the serial killer vibes, Billy Lewis. Fucking Skeet Ulrich, with his chiseled jawline that could literally cut fucking glass, plays this role with an edge that's sharper than the fucking killer's knife. Ulrich, who already dipped his toes in the menacing waters with his role in The Craft, brings a brooding intensity to Billy that has you suspecting he's bad news from the get-go, yet somehow hoping he's not. It's a tightrope walk between charming and chilling that he nails with a goddamn confident swagger. Courtney Cox as the ruthlessly ambitious Gail Weathers, now that's a fucking performance that's a godsend for this film. Fresh from the warm fuzzies of friends, Cox flips the script, becoming the ambitious do-anything-for-a-story reporter. It's a balls-to-the-wall turn that forces us to love her and loathe her, sometimes in the same damn breath. Cox taps into a ferocity we hadn't seen from her before, making Gail a force to be reckoned with, and showing she's more than just the wholesome Monica Geller. Then we have darling David Arquette as Deputy Dewey, that lovable goofball with a badge. It's a welcome contrast to the slash fest, giving us a bit of doofy comedic relief amidst all this mayhem. Before he wandered the halls of Woodsboro High, Arquette was bouncing around Hollywood, popping up in flicks like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Airheads, but as Dewey, he finds the perfect mix of sweet and clueless, becoming the kind of cop you'd probably have a beer with after he chose your ID, of course. We can't talk Scream without giving a shout out to Matthew Lillard, who fucking nails the role of Stu Mocker, the hyperactive and slightly unhinged best buddy. Prior to his work in Scream, Lillard showed us his range in Serial Mom, but it's as Stu that he really cranks that shit to 11. His manic energy, his comedic timing, it's like watching a tightly round spring just going batshit. What makes his performance a standout is how he oscillates between the bumbling fool and complete maniac. It's unnerving as hell. Rose McGowan as Tatum, man, goddamn, she manages to take the best friend trope and twist it into something more real, more badass. Before she was throwing down with Ghostface in the garage, McGowan cut her teeth on the edgy indie films like The Doom Generation. It's here in Scream that she turns the blonde sidekick cliche on its head, injecting a dose of snark and sass that's usually reserved for the film's protagonist. It's a role many might overlook, but fuck that. Tatum is fucking iconic. Jamie Kennedy is Randy Meeks, the horror movie enthusiast. Holy shit, this is a character that is right, like, gets me right in my heart. Kennedy, having been more recognized for his stand-up and bit roles, brings self-awareness to Scream that's just fucking priceless. His rants about the rules of surviving a horror film are legendary. Kennedy's delivery of meta-commentary is a perfect blend of comedic relief and plot progression. The geek not only gets to play in the horror sandbox, but almost outsmarts the sandbox itself. Let's not forget Drew Barrymore's brief but fucking unforgettable turn as Casey Becker. Before she was dodging calls from Ghostface, Barrymore was already a Hollywood darling, warming our hearts and making us laugh in films like E.T. and The Wedding Singer. Yet her performance in Scream is a goddamn game changer. In just the first 10 minutes, she gives us a lifetime's worth of terror and sets the tone for the whole film, a testament to her incredible range. And who could skip over the late great Wes Craven's cameo as Fred the Janitor, giving a nod and a wink to his Nightmare on Elm Street legacy? It's these insider moments that remind us just how self-aware and clever the casting of Scream is. Everyone involved understands the balance of horror and dark comedy, making it a motherfucking standout in the genre. From Barrymore's heart-pumping opening scene to Campbell's final showdown, the actors in Scream redefine what a horror movie cast can be. They're not just fodder for the killer. They're complex, fucking funny, and have layers that peel back as the body count rises. It's these performances that cement Scream, not just as a fucking killer flick, but as a shrewd commentary on horror itself. They say it takes teamwork to make the dream work, and that's exactly what the cast of Scream pulls off, a dream team for the nightmare scenario. So from the iconic lines to the gasp-inducing thrills, let's give it up for the actors who make Scream so Scream-worthy. Alright, let's crack open the directorial maestro Wes Craven's bag of tricks and dissect the mastery behind Scream. Now, Craven wasn't just some Joe Schmo who decided to make horror flicks. This guy's the twisted mind behind, like I said earlier, A Nightmare on Elm Street. So when Scream slashed onto the screen, it wasn't just a movie, it's a goddamn revolution in a mess. First off, Craven played with our expectations like a cat with a half-dead mouse. He took the tropes, those horror cliches we know and laugh at, and turned them on their heads. You know how in most slasher films, the blonde gets it first? Well, Drew Barrymore was our blonde. But hold the phone, she wasn't the damsel in distress we expected. Craven used her star power to pull one hell of a bait and switch in the opening scene, establishing right from the start that all bets were off. The dude had a knack for creating tension that was thicker than a bowl of oatmeal. These moments where you're screaming at the screen, "Don't go in there, you dumb motherfucker!" Those were all intentional. Craven understood pacing. He knew when to give us a breather and when to ramp it up so much that you're digging your nails into those armrests. The party scene, my God, 42 fucking minutes of pure relentless mayhem. It's an epic roller coaster of suspense, humor, and outright terror that doesn't let up. Let's not forget that. It takes balls to crack jokes when there's blood splattering like a Jackson Pollock painting. But man, it worked. Craven balanced fear and funny like a damn circus act. Stu's over-the-top hysteria, seamlessly flipping it to making you piss your pants laughing, artsy, it takes serious skill to have you chorting 1 minute and chewing your fingernails the next. Let's talk about the iconic mask. That simple ghost face managed to scare the shit out of us without trying too hard. It's the minimalist genius of it. Craven let the context fill in the scares. The mask was just the cherry on top. And let's not forget how Craven made us all into armchair detectives. Everyone's a suspect in Scream. And that's no accident. It's a testament to the crafty direction and writing that kept us guessing, suspecting even the most innocent babes of being bloodthirsty killers. It was a whodunit wrapped in a slasher dipped in satire and served with a sign of, oh fuck, they did not just fucking do that. Craven was a conductor, and suspense, gore, and comedy were his instruments. Each character's arc, every twist and stab, was orchestrated to build a symphony of scares that still echoes in the halls of horror history. Scenes like Sydney's first encounter with Ghostface, masterfully executed cat-and-mouse game that showcased Craven's ability to craft a scene that's equally parts creepy and clever. He directed actors to deliver performances that walked that tightrope between believable teenagers and walking slasher tropes. You've got to give the guy credit. He got us to care about these kids before he started picking them off, which, let me tell you, is no easy feat. And it wasn't just shock value. Craven used visual storytelling to keep us on the edge of our seats. The use of shadows, the clever framing that made us peer into the dark corners of the screen, anticipating a knife or a jump scare. It was all deliberate, all precise. Craven was a fiendishly smart filmmaker who used self-awareness to elevate Scream above the typical horror fest. He gave us a movie that was aware of its genre, poking fun at it, while still scaring the absolute fuck out of us all. And that's a goddamn crowning achievement. Every frame of Scream shows that Craven wasn't just crafting a murder mystery or a slasher flick. He was penning a love letter to horror itself. He celebrated the genre's history while carving out a fresh, bloody path that would change the game. So keep your Hitchcocks and Kubricks. For horror fans, it's Craven who takes the throne in my mind. The man was a directing mastermind who delivered terror, laughs, and a legacy that filmmakers are still trying to replicate. With Scream, he didn't just create a movie, he spawned a phenomenon. And for that, every horror buff owes him a drink, or hell, a goddamn bottle. Alright, my thriller-loving compadres, let's slice up the guts of Scream like a fresh victim on a slasher's chopping block. Let's discuss the script. Penned by the savvy Kevin Williamson, the son-of-a-bitch script turned the horror world upside down, strapped it in a fucking electric chair, and flipped the goddamn switch. First up, those of us who've seen our fair share of horror flicks know the drill. Sex equals death. The virgin survives, yada yada. The usual horror bullshit rolls, but Scream? Oh no. It wasn't content just ticking the boxes. This maverick motherfucker had a cheat sheet. It openly mocked the very cliches it paraded, served up with a side of stabbing satire. We got characters in this thing that know as much about horror movies as you and I, even some maybe more. Just take the opening for a haunting example. Casey Becker, played by Drew Barrymore, who didn't see a fuck ton of screen time, by the way, gets this creepy-ass call while prepping for a horror movie night. Classic setup, but then the script flips you the bird and asks you the horror trivia. It's genius. Williamson dials up the tension by mixing the who's gonna survive with the what's your favorite scary movie. Fucking brilliant. And our main gal, Sydney, damn what a character art we have here. From tormented daughter reeling from her mother's brutal murder to badass bitch who won't take any crap from a serial killer. Williamson serves her up as an empty damsel, breaking the mold with a character that grabs the genre by the balls and gives it a good twist. Sid is the girl next door, if the girl next door could kick the ever-loving shit out of you. What about the gallows humor, you ask? The script doesn't just have jokes. It's got wickedly dark zingers that'll make a nun blush. Scenes are strung together with smart-assery that make you wonder if you're watching a horror or a stand-up special. Stu's losing it moment when he shrieks like a little bitch about his parents being mad, comic gold amidst a bloodbath. Let's talk about Billy, the boyfriend with a face that screams, "Trust me, I'm definitely not the killer." Williamson penned this charming motherfucker with layers. He tosses around words of love and movie quotes like candy, all the while harboring a twist harder than realizing your Tinder date is into taxidermy. Who could have guessed this motherfucking son of a gun had more issues than the New York Times? Beyond the horror homage and the snark, Scream managed to be a whodunit that throws red herrings at you like a goddamn fishmonger. Williamson had us guessing until the end, throwing suspicion around like confetti at a goddamn parade. Adding to the headfuckery, everyone's got motive. Hell, even the janitor looks shady as fuck. In conclusion, Scream didn't just give us a new nightmare to dissect, it gave us an invitation to the killer's table. With a script dripping in sarcasm and slick with blood, there's something goddamn poetic about a screenplay that can make you laugh uncontrollably one minute and scream, "Don't go in there, you dumb fuck," the next. Williamson not only wrote a love letter to the horror genre, but he also stabbed it several times, revived it, and slapped it on the ass. So there you have it, my fellow horror enthusiasts. Scream script shat on the expected, flipped the narrative knife, and dared to rewrite the tired old rules. It's no wonder this fucker lodges itself into pop culture like a blade to the heart. Now, take a breath, shake out the spook, and remember, now we're talking about the cinematography in Scream, because damn if it isn't a character of its own in this flick. First off, this film knows exactly when to cling to that classic horror voyeurism, putting us into the heavy breathing POV of the killer, and when to flip to it, making us the sweaty palm spectators of a slasher-driven bloodbath. You remember that opening scene with Drew Barrymore, the blonde bombshell playing Casey? Yeah, fuck, that was intense. The camera swoops in like a goddamn hawk on prey, all smooth and menacing. Then as shit hits the fan, it's like we're right there, joining her on that frantic whirl of a doomed hide-and-seek match. And what about that first close-up on Casey's face? Hello, pure fear. Her piercing baby blues are shading straight into your soul. That, my friends, is some top-tier, heart-racing action only made possible by a camera that treats its characters like real people, not just horror cliches waiting to get diced up. Let's not kid ourselves. The director of photography had his work cut out for him, keeping us on edge while balancing that dark humor, that signature to Scream, much like a stand-up comic knows when to pause for effect. The camera setups in this film are precise as fuck. The timing has to be spot on to nail the gags amidst gagging, and boy does it deliver. Now, moving on to the party scene. Holy mother of marathon shots. 42 minutes of pure uncut tension, like I mentioned earlier. The camera work, a calculated dance of steady shots and handheld chaos that feels so goddamn real. You're in that party. As the beer flows, so does your anxiety. By the time the reveal comes around, the camera's been building up to this climax with the patience of a saint and the stealth of a fucking ninja. What's genius here is the subtlety too. Take the mise-en-scene into account, and you'll notice things that you didn't catch the first time. And I bet you your ass did. Shadow play and reflections in the background, sneaky peeks of the killer lurking just off screen. They could have easily gone ham with the gimmicks, but no. They kept it classy, a nod to you behind the lens. Then, that rule of thirds is working overtime. The characters are placed just off-center enough to keep your eyes roaming the frame, looking for the next scare. Because let's face it, you know it's never safe to get comfortable when watching a Scream. That's the beauty of the film's cinematography, playing with your expectations like a cat with that half-dead mouse. And you're both horrified and can't look away. And not to get too artsy on your asses, but lighting, my dudes, is fucking important. Scream uses light like a fucking beacon, sometimes guiding our heroes, other times sealing their fates. You've got high contrast scenes filled with harsh shadows, classic horror stuff, but mixed with softer, almost safe spaces that turn out to be anything but safe spaces. It's a visual roller coaster. One minute you're coasting in the kiddie park, next thing you know, you're plunging down the mother of all fucking drops, screaming your goddamn head off. So props to the cinematography team who managed to marry Wes Craven's horror mischief with camera wizardry that's slicker than the blood on Ghostface's knife. It drives the narrative, punches up the satire, and cradles the terror in a beautifully shot package of holy shit, did you just fucking see that? In conclusion, Scream cinematography just doesn't just set the scene. It is the fucking scene. It lays the groundwork for the thrills and the laughs, making it a monumental piece of horror history. It's like, hey, settle in for a movie and also prepare for an art exhibit where the paintings might just leap out and slice you up. How's that for a visual experience? All right, fellow whorehounds, slice into the editing techniques of Scream and how they crank the tension to 11. You know, editing is the invisible art where the magic really happens in cinema. It's like the killer lurking in the shadows. If done right, you don't see it, but damn, you can feel it. So right out the gate, we get the opening scene with Casey. Shit, talk about a kickstart. This is where the editing spells out, we ain't in your run-of-the-mill fucking slasher flick. The cuts between Casey's increasingly panicked face and the popcorn slowly turning into a house fire metaphor, that's some all-star fucking editing right there. You're on the edge of your seat, holding onto your butt sheets because you don't know when the knife will drop. And when it does, courtesy of quick cuts and sound punches, you're jumping out of your fucking skin. Then we have the classic Scream phone call scenes. Let me tell you, the pacing here is key. When Sydney picks up that phone, the editing starts to play with us. Long enough on her to feel the unease, short enough so we can't predict the ghost face pop-up. The timing is impeccable. It's like a motherfucking metronome set to scare the shit out of your tempo. The use of jump cuts in this flick is a goddamn weapon. You think you can handle on where people are in space, then bam, a cut disorients you. And just like Sydney and her friends, you've got no clue where the danger's coming from next. It's disarming, it's unnerving, and goddamn, it's effective. Now, let's talk about the party scene, the granddaddy of climactic bloodbaths that we've already spoken about. Calling it a masterpiece is like calling the Mona Lisa just a decent sketch. Dude, the editors were playing 4D chess here. The rhythm of the sequence is a work of fucking art. The intercutting between partygoers having the time of their life and Ghostface turning teenagers into Swiss cheese. The way the tension wraps up with faster cuts as the body count rises, cinematic gold. Even the subtle shit, like the reaction shots, are spliced to precision. We're reading the room, bouncing between hysterical laughter and sheer horror, and the editors are like the puppet masters here. It's not just about when to cut, but what we're cutting to. If we're swapping from a bloody knife to Gale Weathers' ambitious smirk, we're in a whole new brand of terror. Let's not forget the clever editing used in Misdirection, throwing suspicion at every corner. 1 minute, you're sure the boyfriend is the killer. The next, you're betting your left nut. It's the best friend. That, my friends, is the pure sleight of hand that only top shelf editing can pull off. As we ramp up this gory, edge of your seat romp through Scream's editing genius, think about this. Every scare, every laugh, every gasp you took was by design. Everything in this movie was by design. The unsung heroes, the editors, pieced together what could have been just a bunch of shots into a seamless, heart-pounding ride that stands the test of time. So next time you sit and watch Scream, pay attention to the rhythm, pay attention to the pace, pay attention to the cuts. Because believe me, the editing is the backbone of the horror roller coaster ride that keeps us coming back for more. And with that, I'll catch you after this final quick break. Stay with me, because we still got a killer podcast ahead.
That looks like me. What's this long, hard thing?
My machete.
They set him up.
Have you ever killed anyone before?
To do a dirty job.
The senator must die. Now I can't make you do this, but I can make damn sure something happens to you if you don't.
What now?
He got away.
He's gonna make them pay.
You mean to tell me that a Mexican day laborer has a
damn federale? He's good.
A real gentleman.
He's bad.
You want me to help you kill all these men?
Yes, Padre.
see what I can do.
And it's gonna get ugly.
Come lay with me.
I know the legend.
Maybe the legend's better.
I'll be the judge of that.
Robert Rodriguez presents Danny Trejo, Steven Seagal, Michelle Rodriguez, Lindsay Lohan, introducing Don Johnson, Jessica Alba.
Where have you been? You could have texted me.
Machete don't text.
And Robert De Niro.
This cucaracha's got AK-47s and he's laying waste to everything that gets in his path.
Machete sent me a text. He's coming after us.
Machete don't text.
Machete improvises.
Machete.
Where are you going?
Take out the trash.
This portion of the Movie Pit podcast is brought to you by Fright Rags. Are you sick freaks craving a wardrobe that screams bloody murder? Get your gore-loving asses over to Fright Rags, the ultimate pit stop for horror apparel sharper than Freddy's claws and cooler than Jason's mask on a frosty Friday night. Since 2003, they've decked out horror hounds in the sickest tees, handing out scares like candy on Halloween. Got a soft spot for those twisted slashers and demented demons? They've got them all, from Trick or Treat to the goddamn Prince of Playtime, Chucky, starting at just $26. But hold on to your guts, it's not just shirts. We're peddling socks that'll make your feet the last thing they see before the lights go out, lounge pants looser than the morals in a teen slasher flick, and fucking souvenir cups that'll have you sipping to a bloodbath, unsure which demented duds to don. Can't decide if you want to rep the shape or sport some sadistic socks. Let them pick your poison. Rush your horror-loving ass over to FrightRags.com. What are you waiting for? An engraved invitation from Dracula. Chop chop, before these bestsellers slice their way out of stock. Check out the website. That's FrightRags.com. You've got 45 seconds, starting now.
All right, movie buffs, it's time to delve into the nitty-gritty of Scream, the critical response it garnered upon release, and how it's carved out its own bloody slice of horror cinema history. So when Scream first hit theaters, slasher flick enthusiasts and skeptics alike didn't know quite what to expect. Here's a film that essentially winked at the audience while wielding a bloody knife. It's satirical, it's self-aware, and let's not forget, it's scary as hell. Critics were caught off guard by the film's brazen blend of black comedy and genuine terror. Some pundits were quick to praise the fresh take on the genre. Others were scratching their heads, wondering if they should be laughing, screaming, or some twisted cocktail of both. Roger Ebert, the legendary film critic, tossed Scream a solid 3 stars out of 4. He highlighted the movie's keen self-awareness as its savvy poking of fun at the horror genre. And you know when Ebert gives that kind of nod to a slasher film, you aren't just dealing with some run-of-the-mill bloodfest. This movie's got fucking brains. Now, not all feedback was a love letter dressed in suspense and satire. There were naysayers who thought Scream was just too clever for its own good, trying to outsmart audiences and ultimately losing the raw edge that makes horror, well, horrifying. Some critics couldn't quite stomach that sweet spot Wes Craven found between irony and intensity. Despite that, Scream redefined that it meant to be a horror film. In the late 1990s, it brought back the slasher genre from the brink of straight-to-video purgatory and reminded audiences why they loved to be scared in the first place. The movie made a point to reference its predecessors like Halloween and A Nightmare on Elm Street with such finesse that it revived interest in those classics. What's even more telling of its impact is the ripple effect it's had on pop culture. Suddenly, we saw a resurgence of horror films that didn't just want to make the audience jump. They wanted to make the audience think, laugh, and scream all in one go. Scream laid the groundwork for a new generation of horror, which you can see in a slew of 2000s movies that came equipped with self-referential humor and a more meta take on the genre. Let's talk numbers for a hot second here. Scream slashed its way to over $173 million worldwide on a $14 million budget. That's a monstrous success, especially for a flick that many thought would be a niche hit at best. It became one of the highest grossing films of 1996 and cemented its status as a cult classic, inspiring a string of sequels that tried to capture the same magic. And let's not forget about its saturation in the aftermath. Parodies like Scary Movie owe their existence to fucking Scream, echoing its cleverness and cementing its status as an original tough act to follow. What really sets Scream apart in terms of critical response is its staying power. Over 25 years later, and we're still talking about it, still dissecting it, and still jumping at the ironic Ghostface reveal. Critics have continued to acknowledge Scream's significance in retrospectives, pointing out how its blend of horror and humor has influenced not just other films, but television and literature as well. But it's not just the critics here, it's the fans too. The endless quotes, the Halloween costumes, the heated debates over who the best killer was, all of that is testament to the movie's lingering presence in fan circles and the horror community at large. So there you have it, a mixed bag of screams and applause for Scream. It's clear that Wes Craven was onto something wickedly novel with this metal horror flick. He created a movie that looked the dead genre in the eyes and said, "I'm not afraid of you." And that, my friends, is a damned impressive feat. Well, folks, that's a wrap on this whodunit cinematic roller coaster. We've sliced and diced our way through the entire film Scream, bit by bit. Honestly, it's been a damn pleasure to relive that nightmare joyride alongside you. From the OG Scream Queen, Casey, or should I say, the second OG Scream Queen, to Sydney's badassery, our killer kids, Billy and Stu, they all nailed their performances to the fucking wall. And between the lines, a script so sharp it could cut glass, we've seen a director not just speaking the language of horror, but rewriting it. The cinematography, it had us looking over our shoulders in the darkest of rooms. All this without forgetting the editing, which kept us on the edge of our seats, and a musical score that began the spine-tingling soundtrack to our collective dread. Scream, my dear listeners, is a film that deserves its cult status. It's the epitome of 90s horror, mixing black comedy, genuine frights, and a self-aware edge that's as fresh today as it was back then. Slapping a rating on this bad boy, I'm going to go with a hard-earned 9 out of 10. It's a motherfucker of a movie that's nearly impossible not to scream about with friends over a massacre of popcorn and spilled soda. And you know what? Next week, we'll be back to sink our claws into Scream 2. Until then, make sure you've got your favorite scary movie queued up, lock your fucking doors, and remember the rules. Watch your back and keep on screaming. And as always, till next time, kiddies.
Thank you for listening to this, the Movie Pit Movie Review. We hope you have enjoyed your time. Come back to the Movie Pit Podcast each week for a new movie review podcast. The Movie Pit is produced by Ryan Boozer Johnson and Seth Chapman. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual hosts and may may not reflect the views of RMJ Media Incorporated. See you next week.